Well, we are here with a comrade from Mexico City for Radio Autonomía to hear a little bit about the current political situation there. So, to start off, could you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about the work that you do in Mexico City?
Sure. So my real work is that I'm work in films, commercials, television, documentaries, and short films in the camera and lighting department in Mexico. And I also sometimes do my own things as a director.
Okay, excellent. And how long have you been in Mexico City?
I live in Mexico City since a little bit more than 3 years.
Great. Okay, so you were there last year, exactly 1 year ago. A new president, as we know, Enrique Peña Nieto, came into power in Mexico. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened on December 1st, 2012?
I think it's important to start a little bit earlier. So to begin with the elections on the 1st of July 2012. So officially, Enrique Peña Nieto, who now is the president of Mexico City, won the election. But there have been a lot of irregularities, and there are really big doubts if he's really the winner. So during the inauguration speech of Peña Nieto, there were protests in the streets against him and his election fraud. And it's nearly certain that there have been paid agents of provocation. The demonstration escalated on the 1st of December. At least one young man was killed, and a lot got political prisoners.
Okay, so over the last year, since December 1st, the state of political repression in Mexico seems to have really escalated dramatically. And this is something that we've seen from afar. You know, here in California, we've been trying to follow. But of course, as we know, the media is very limited in its coverage of this. So can you tell us a little bit about how you've witnessed this from Mexico City?
Since the 1st of December 2012, in a lot of demonstrations, protesters get political prisoners. There have been violations of law during the process of arresting and during the imprisonment, as well as high penalties to pay. The repression against independent media and toward everybody who documents a demonstration and the violence contra the protesters is rising and rising.
So, how have you seen this play out in specific moments? So, we saw this summer the teachers, I think it's the CENTE, the National Coordinator of Education Workers, largely known as sort of the teachers' movement, staged a number of large protests and occupied the Zócalo, I believe. So, how did this repression and this political climate play out around that?
Yes, they are called La Cente. La Cente means Coordinadora Nacional de Trabajadores de la Educación, National Coordinator of Education Workers, and the protests against the education reform. They also occupied until Friday, 13th of September, the main square in Mexico City, which is called Zócalo. On the 13th of September, a brutal dispossession took place. And La Cente went to occupy the Monumental of the Revolution. I think this shows the dispute for public space. Because at the Zócalo, in the night before the Mexican Independence Day, which is the 16th of September, the official party takes place. And although the mayor of Mexico City, Mancera, is from a left-wing party, they did this brutal dispossession. I think it's an example that in Mexico, the left-wing governments aren't with the people. They're allied with the capital, and the state works for the defense of the
Absolutely.
capital.
And we were really shocked to see the images of the tanks rolling into the Zócalo as part of that eviction process. You know, it was really, particularly in the context of it being just before the 2 de octubre, October 2nd, that image of the military, you know, the militarized police force in repressing a protest movement was really, really shocking. From a distance, at least. So that connects a little bit to the 2 de octubre, October 2nd, 1968. There's this commemoration march that happens every year. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, this year on the 2nd of October, which, yes, it's a demonstration in memory of the 2nd of October, 1968. As that day in 1968 in Tlatelolco, which is in Mexico City, a massacre on students and civilian protesters happened only 10 days before the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. And this year, at the protests of the 2nd of October, more than 100 people were arrested. And Mario Gonzalez, he is a 20-year-old student and activist. He's still in prison and since 53 days in
So Hanover. In the context of all of this repression around the 2 de Octubre, around the Cente, and just generally happening in Mexico City in particular, what has been the response from popular movements? How have people been organizing to counter this repression?
As I would say, really, on one hand, all of this really sounds really depressing, but I would also say that there's a lot of solidarity. As that there's solidarity from lawyers' collectives, that there are a lot of collectives which organized a lot of things to collect the money to pay the penalties, mm-hmm. and so on and so on.
Okay, so there's a lot of mobilization in solidarity with the political prisoners and just a very public message that what's happening is not acceptable and that people are aware, you know, which is, I think, very powerful. Okay, so in this context, we've been seeing a particular sort of category of protester appearing in the mainstream media, the anarchist, right, in big quotation marks. So there's been talk recently about even an anarchist witch hunt occurring in Mexico. The Zapatistas recently referenced this in a communique where they invited self-identified anarchists to write statements, sort of explaining their political position. So what do you think that this category of anarchist has come to represent in the mainstream media? And how does it contribute to the escalating repression? And I'm thinking in particular about something you brought up at the beginning about the proven use of paid provocateurs in the protests.
The mainstream media uses the word anarchist like they use in other parts of the world, the word terrorist. I don't think that a lot of people who use the word anarchism in the context with the riots really know what the political philosophy which stands above this word or really stands
so
for.
So if the mainstream media has played a powerful role in constructing this image of the anarchist as terrorist in the political context in Mexico, what role has the alternative media been playing in this political context?
And I would say there are really a lot of collectives in Mexico which do independent media or which are part of this movement of independent media. I would say nearly everywhere in the world, you always have the official version from the mainstream media from an event, and then you also have the independent media, which normally more shows how things really are. Mm-hmm. And what is now happening in Mexico is that there's really a big repression against independent media because the state doesn't want that the real images are going out in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've really relied on the alternative media coverage from here to get a sense of what's actually happening on the ground. Because like I said, the mainstream media, the little that even is covered here in the United States and other parts of the world is clearly a very inaccurate depiction of what's really playing out. So the use of the alternative media has been really powerful for getting the word out beyond Mexico as well.
Okay. I would also say it's okay. I think in the mainstream media, you can really see how the official Mexico wants to be represented in the world. And also I think, I see a lot of, okay, it's an economically rising country and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that Mexico is one of the places with one of the worst media monopolies of the world, also one of the most dangerous places to be working as a journalist. So that kind of situation really comes to the surface here.